Most of you all. So we are starting this new series on heaven and hell. It's one of those topics we've heard about, we know, but it's something we don't see. And in some ways, the world around us is much easier to connect with. I had a guy in my office. We were just talking, and I pulled up my Facebook page and showed him something on my Facebook page. I says, you know, it's funny. That's not real. My Facebook page doesn't exist. You can't go drive it and find it. It's all electronic. It assembles itself. It's just an image. It's not there. It seems so real and alive and important, but the reality that we don't see heaven and hell and the kingdom of God are things that in this life we have to look at connecting with and to understand it. And God tells us the reality of that, but it's, and there's a constant spiritual battle that the devil is always putting out there to make us, all people, think that it's not real and it's not there. So there's even a battle against us understanding and against everyone coming to grips with those things we don't see. So we thought over the next several weeks it'd be good to look at aspects of heaven and what God says and what the Bible says about heaven and hell. So I'm going to talk or look at this aspect of heaven on earth, which starts with our relationship with God. So I'm going to start right off with a verse here from Philippians. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, and he said, "But we are citizens of heaven." Citizens of heaven. That's who we are. You know, in our culture today, we're going through an identity crisis. Who are we? People aren't sure, and they're really struggling to find out. Maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that, maybe I'm a man, maybe I'm a woman, maybe I have... There's all these things about who we are. But Paul says, this is who we are. This is primary. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Our home is where God is. That's our home. And we eagerly await... We're eagerly awaiting for Him to return. Our home is with Him, and we're looking for Him to come back. This is what Paul was saying about the church and himself. So, I've said, okay, citizen is one of those words. I think it's, what, seven letters? Okay, what does it mean to be a citizen? I pulled this definition off the internet. And most definitions in a citizen refer to being a citizen of a state or a country. And this is, I think, helpful. A person, a citizen, a definition of a citizen, if you're a citizen of heaven, a person who is entitled to enjoy all the rights and privileges granted by a state to the people. So if you're a citizen of heaven, you have certain rights and privileges that come along with being a citizen of heaven. And we're going to look at a few of those, and over the next several weeks, more. And is obligated to obey its laws and to fulfill his or her duties as called upon. So, saying if you're a citizen of heaven, or if you're a citizen of a country or of a state, there are certain rights and privileges, and there's certain responsibilities that come along with that. So, we... You know, in Awana, I did the opening ceremonies, and I'm very self-conscious about, I got really super self-conscious about singing the Awana song, because so I skipped that this week. So I said, we need to do something else until I become comfortable with singing, even though little children won't bother. So Dave was much braver than I am in doing that. I thought, well, why don't we review the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? And, you know, the kids are younger, and I says, what does it mean to pledge allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And what we talked about, I said, what's a pledge? What's it means to pledge allegiance to something? And they're younger kids, and I said, the flag is this piece of cloth. Are we saying, I am dedicating myself to this piece of cloth? And you know how kids are. They, when you become obvious enough, they go, no, we're not doing that. To the Republic, which it stands, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. We are living in a place that has pledged to offer as best as it can, and it's not liberty and justice for all, and we're committed to offer that and to help people have that here in this land. It's what it means to be a citizen of this country. So if we're a citizen of heaven, and what the scripture says, that's what Paul says, is our main citizenship, our biggest one, is we're a citizen of heaven, and that has rights and privileges of being part of God's family, being adopted in, being offered grace, being offered forgiveness, being offered relationship. And being a citizen of heaven has duties and obligations. If I read the New Testament, the thing that sticks out to me just over and over again is it says, this is who you really are. Live fully that way. Be a citizen of heaven. Don't be half a citizen. Don't be a little citizen. Don't do it optionally on Sunday. Live as a citizen of heaven with all that you are, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's where we're going today. Did I pray yet? I don't think I did. So let's stop and pray before we go any farther. Lord, thank you for this concept. Thank you for what you say that is hard to see. You say we're citizens of heaven. Help us to understand that more completely today. In your Son's name. Amen. So, we're here on the earth. Some of this is something that God says. How do we connect with that? So, I want you to think of a place you would like to go on vacation that you've never been before. Think of a place you'd really like to go. There may not be a place, but there's a place you'd like to go. And then think of how long you'd want to go there for. It can be as long as you want. It can be a week, it can be 2 weeks, it could be a month, it could be 3 months. So, you have a place in mind? Okay, I want you to share that with a person next to you. All right. Did you share how long you wanted to go for? You'd like to go for a couple years? The Bahamas, Bermuda? Okay. Is that enough time to do that? So, anyone willing to share a few places you thought of that you'd like to go? Yes. Great Britain. Yeah. Yeah. Go to Europe. England. Yes. Australia. Wow, that's the land down under. Anywhere else? Yeah, Caribbean island. In December or January. yeah. Anyone find that your neighbor had a nicer place than you were thinking of, and then you go, yeah, I think I want to go with you to your place. I think that's better than what I thought of. I was going to go to Wisconsin Dells and Leah had a better. How long did you want to go for? 2 weeks? 2 weeks? Is everyone about that? Anyone longer? A couple months? Anyone say forever? I want to, as long as it takes. Okay. That's good. I was thinking about life. If I look at this citizenship in heaven, a person who comes to faith is going to be with God forever. That's our home. This life here is very short. It's like a week or two. Or as long as it takes. And then we will go home to be with God. Now, the vacation analogy doesn't work too well. I don't feel like my life here on earth is a vacation. But it's very short. It's very short. I'm 51 years old, if I remember right. I'm more than halfway through my life. I don't expect to live to 102. But even though my grandmother did, but that's another story. She lived to 103. But I'm more than halfway there. Halfway done. And we are going to go home one day. You know, my parents are retired, and they have an RV, big one. It's beautiful, and they go all over the country. And actually, they're traveling now. They're out in Utah and Bryce Canyon, and they start these trips with great anticipation. They go, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, and sometimes they'll go for up to 3 months. And you know what they say after a while? After two getting on 3 months, and these are some of the most beautiful places in the world that they go see. There's a lot to see in America. And they have all the time they want to do it. My father will say, you know, after a while, it's just another place. And I want to go home. I'm looking forward to going home. They could travel for 6 months. But between there, they go, you know, we'd like to go home. We want to be home. We're comfortable. That's where we live. Home for a Christian is with the Lord, with the one who came for us. So we're trying to connect with that reality. So, citizens of heaven, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. I read this and I thought, am I doing that? Do I eagerly want him to come back now? And I go, oh boy, that makes me a little nervous. I don't know about you, but the idea of God coming back to judge the world. Now, it didn't bother Paul. Paul's going, hey, he is so good. He cares so much about me. There is so much grace. Have him come back now. In my head, I'm going, wow. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not, and this is an opportunity for me to grow. I realized, wow, in my maturity and my understanding, and I love the idea of grace. But part of this, God's going to come back and judge my life? Wow, I'm not ready for that yet. This is what Peter said. Peter addressed this. This section in Peter, he's addressing to the church how to live a holy life. That's what this verse is addressing. He says, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. He's saying, this is what you should do. In evangelical Christianity, we're very good at telling you what you should be doing. But a lot of times we don't deal enough with the heart. I found this in my own life. We're big on obligations. But boy, our heart needs to be in the right place. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on that. So when God comes, there is so much grace and so much acceptance that'll be offered to you. We barely grasp that. That is one of the rights and privileges of heaven, is to understand complete acceptance. No reservation, and how good he is. So Peter goes on and he talks about this. He says, but you are not like that. That is the people who aren't living for God, who don't trust in Jesus Christ. For you are a chosen people. This is who you are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You are God's very own possession. So you got up today. What did you feel like this morning when you got up? Say, hey, I feel really good today. I'm a chosen person. I'm a royal priest. I am God's very own possession. I go, well, a lot of times I don't feel this way. This is the reality. When we're in heaven, we will know that all the time what that means to be accepted. And this is supposed to be the result. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So part of Christianity is knowing these things. Knowing your rights and privileges helps you be a witness for who God is. So this is homecoming week, or was homecoming week for West Chicago High School, which is right over here. So homecoming was Friday night, and one of the things that happens during the big sporting events is the booster club charges people to park over in the high school parking lot, $10, and because of that, people will park in our parking lot for free. And so what I do sometimes is I'll come here and I'll charge half price, $5, to park in our parking lot. That actually, the guy who runs the booster club asked me if we can do that, because he says, if they can park over there, they won't park over there. He says, okay, I'll work out this deal. So I thought, well, I'm here. I got the cones up and a little sign out, parking $5, and there's people from all over coming. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll grab a card table and put a lantern up, and I'll get some life books and some of our Awana flyers, and I'll hand them out to everyone coming in the parking lot, if they want them. And so the high schoolers drive in, you know, and I said, hey, this is a paid lot, and this is $5 if you want to park here. If you don't want to park here, that's fine. You can drive around, but there's probably no other spaces nearby. It might take hours. And they have a couple high schoolers in the car, and two young ladies, and I said, but if you park here, I will give you a free gift. Now think about this. There's an old gray-haired guy in the dark in this parking lot giving away stuff, right? This is like, run away, right? Right? This is what we tell young women. Run away. If you ever see this, run away, right? So I said, look, and this is partially true. I said, these are the last two life books that I have, which is kind of true, because the rest of them were in the church building. It was the last two I had outside. So I said, the truth in here has changed my life. The truth of who God is has changed my life. And the people who put this together, they put these in hotels all over the world so people could learn about the truth that God cares about you. And they sat there and they were listening to what I said. And I go, wow, this is kind of funny. You think about it. They have their whole lives in front of them. They're young. They're probably going to get a college degree and get married and have a whole life in front of them. But they were going, wow. Thank you. And actually, I had to tell them to park because cars were piling up behind them and they were listening to what I was saying. And I go, well, why is that? Why is that? I said, go park over there. Because deep down, we want to know that God cares about us, that this is possible. This is possible. And because I believe this, I don't believe it perfectly. Sometimes I have doubts, and God is working in my maturity, but I believe it more than they do. I believe it enough to say that this is really true. This will help you to know this. You should read this, the truth of who God is. And so, the truth of understanding this, that God cares about you, God came for you. When you get to heaven, you will know complete acceptance. All of your sins, you will be given the righteousness. I can't even grasp. The perfect righteousness of the Son of God will be given to you. You will not go, well, my life is such a mess. We will look at each other, and I don't know how it's going to work. We're going to go, oh, look at you. Look how beautiful you are. Look how God made you. You are look at, God is so good in creating everyone. Look at you. You're a beautiful person. We will see each other that way. We say, isn't the Lord good? Isn't it good to be here? Ever look forward to going to seeing your family or a family reunion, and you travel and you're looking forward to getting, you see them and you're just, it's fun to be together. Like, oh, it was so good to be here. It's too bad we all have to go home. Heaven will go, well, we're all together. We have perfect relationship. It'll be so good to be there. So, heaven. So why heaven? Why heaven? I want to look at a few more verses here. In 1 John, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So he says, we are citizens of heaven. That is your status. That is given to you. But we're learning, we're maturing and becoming citizens of heaven. So when I'm out talking to the girl in the parking lot, there was a time in my life I never would have done that. It would have freaked me out. And no one, but now no one's saying, hey, Dean, you really ought to grab some stuff and stand in the parking lot and give it a talk to people you don't know. No one told me to do that. I go, hey, this would be kind of fun. It'd be fun to do this. I like to talk to people about God. It's inspiring. I don't know why, but I do. I do. Our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. As we mature, that's what maturity is. So we are citizens of heaven, and we are becoming more mature. Part of this is understanding that. As we understand it, we obey more. Our faith and confidence grows. It all works together. And that's why we're going to wrestle with this over the next several weeks. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. People who should have confidence are people who are following the Lord. People who have come by, and I'm not talking about our church, but who have been involved but just walked away from the faith. Maybe they're not citizens of heaven. That's a possibility. I have to be honest, those who have confidence are those who have God in their heart and they're following the Lord. That's a part of the process of maturity. Back to Philippians. Above all, this is Philippians 1:27. Above all, this is how the first two words it starts. So, ever been given a bunch of instructions? Here's 27 things you're supposed to do, but above all, above everything else, first priority, the one thing you should do, the one thing you should focus on, above all, the thing you should not miss, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Why does he say that? Because if it all happened naturally, if it happened easily, he wouldn't have to tell people that. But he does. Because there's a spiritual battle to believe this is true and to subdue our flesh. Above all, live as citizens of heaven. And he's telling the Philippians, he says, then when I come and see you again, or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together for one spirit, with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. So the connection is to understand our citizenship. That is the motivation. So, last verse about citizenship. So even in Ephesians, this is a common theme. So he's saying, now, he's talking to the Gentiles in Ephesus, different church. You're no longer strangers and foreigners. Now, before people were Christians, they were not citizens of heaven. There was a time in my life when I was not a citizen of heaven. I went to church sometimes. My family went to church more in the winter. We lived near the beach. We went to the beach in the summer. We were not that devoted to our faith. It was something I just thought, well, it'd be good to have some religion for the kids. So that's what we did. But I found, I got to the point in my life, I says, you know, I don't know if I believe any of this. I don't know if I believe this. I'm just sitting here for myself. And I have to decide if I think this is true. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Members of God's family. So one of the privileges of being adopted in, being a member of God's family, is the grace and acceptance that come with that. So I relate to that strongly. I see that strongly through my family. I understand it through my family. We accept each other. We work with each other. I never fear if I go home to visit my parents that my father's going to say, hey, you're not my son anymore. I never really liked you. I don't approve of you. I never fear that from my father. Not at all. I see it over and over again that he's a giver. And that's just a picture, a small picture, an imperfect picture of how good God is. So heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. What is the scripture saying? What is it like to have heaven on earth? Can we relate to that? Can we have that? We've covered this through several verses to several people and several churches that every Christian, every person who is really a Christian is a citizen of heaven. That is our status. That is our status. But just like inheritance, you know what an inheritance is? It's someone who leaves you something and you get it after they pass away, after someone dies. Now, your citizenship in heaven, you're not going to fully get that until you pass away. It's an inheritance. It's there, it's being held for you, but we won't have it until later. The second part, you are becoming a citizen of heaven. So you are a citizen of heaven, but you are becoming more so. If you're walking forward in faith, if you're growing, you're maturing, you are becoming a citizen of heaven. So I'm in the parking lot. I took all the life books I could find in my car. I had 10 or 15 of them, and I threw them on the table because people are driving in, and I'm giving them away and stopping to talk to people because I enjoy that to a degree. And another young lady comes in a white car, and I says, I say the same thing, but I mean it when I say it. And I said, hey, the truth in here. I says, you know, I used to go to church kind of on and off, same story I told you, in the winter, but I started to wonder if God was real or not. And I said, I came across this verse that talked about having a sincere faith. And the verse is, don't repeat prayers mindlessly. And I realized that's what I was doing. I was doing mindless stuff. I didn't feel it. I didn't believe it. And I realized here's Jesus Christ saying, that's not what true faith is. And this young woman, and again, I'm talking, she's in the car, there's cars piling up, waiting to get in the parking lot, and I said, you should probably park. I says, I'm sorry, I'm a talker, I apologize for taking up too much of your time. She got out of the car, she says, no, what's the rest of the story? What's the rest of the story? The truth of who God is here. It'll help you. It'll be good that God cares about you to be a citizen of heaven. So I gave her a life book telling her my story. And that I once wasn't, once I didn't understand, and now I understand a little better. The reason that is because I know this. I know I'm a citizen of heaven. And she was listening to what I was saying. I was sincere. I wasn't just saying empty words. I was going, this is important. It's so helpful for me. People want to have hope. We long to know the truth that God cares about us. So last but not least, so you are a citizen of heaven. You are becoming more so as you step out in faith, as you obey, as your faith grows. And the Bible says you will be a citizen of heaven. I think, and I'm hoping over the next several weeks, as Greg and Mike and Jim spend more time on this together, that I learn more about, boy, what is that going to be like? For that to be our home, to know complete acceptance, to have no more pain, to have no more struggle, to have perfect relationship, to see how good God is all the time. That is going to be something to have together. That's what I wanted to share today. Why don't we have the music team come up and we will worship a little more together. God, thank you for the reality of citizenship. Thank you for what you've given to us, complete acceptance, complete grace. Thank you for giving your righteousness to us. Help us to understand that more completely as we walk forward together. Amen.